Well, I'm glad we can take everything to the Lord in prayer and know that He hears us and know that He will give us the right direction, the right answer, and every question that we have in our personal walk with the Lord. Tonight we will come to a conclusion of our few messages that we have given upon the word come. We have dealt with six or five other times that the Lord makes the statement that we are to come unto Him. This will be the seventh message, but this will be the sixth different phrase that we are looking at, because the first message, we took two different services on that. And tonight we are in the book of Revelation. And when you come to the completion of things, that's the best book in the Bible, because Revelation completes it all. And so tonight in chapter number 4, verse number 1, we find the phrase, come up hither. And so we'll be looking at that. But let's read this one verse together. Verse number 1, Revelation chapter number 4. After this I looked, and behold, a door was opened in heaven. And the first voice which I heard was as it were of a trumpet, talking with me, which said, come up hither, and I will show thee things which must be hereafter. So chapter number 4, verse 1, introduces the last division of the book of Revelation. We have gone over this many times. Other preachers have stood behind this pulpit and gave many messages from these particular verses. Even in camp meeting just a few weeks ago, someone preached on the first two words of chapter 4, after this. And a good message. We thank the Lord for every message that God gives us concerning things that are in the hereafter. But He tells us in this verse, He says in verse number 1, come up hither. Most people that study the Scripture, and I believe that study it correctly, give us that this verse probably is the verse that would introduce to us the rapture of the believer or the Christian, or the snatching away, the catching away. We know the word rapture is not found in the Scripture itself, but certainly the whole gist of what the word rapture means is found in many, many places. And here the Lord told John, He says, come up hither. In verse number 2, you'll find that immediately John says, I was in the Spirit. And so there was no lack of time, no lapse of time. When the Lord told John to come up, he went up immediately. And he was in the presence of the Lord. He was transported spiritually to that place that I believe is what we know of as heaven. And so he tells us to come up hither. And he says, I'll show you the things that must be hereafter. Chapters 1, 2, and 3 give us the things that were and the things that are. But chapter number 4, all the way through the rest of the book, gives us the things that are hereafter. And the invitation is given, or the command is given, that we are come to be with Him because everything is finished. I'm looking forward to that day that we can say completed. The job, the task is over. Now, last week we dealt with a part of that invitation, talking about the crucified life, and how that we live before people and stand before people and sometimes have to literally crucify our flesh to put our flesh on notice that we are not going to do everything that the flesh desires to do. And sometimes that is very difficult, and it's a difficult message to have, because we don't want to have our lives on an altar. We don't want to be that living sacrifice that Paul talks about in the book of Romans chapter number 12. But we live a sacrificial life if we live for the Lord. And that's that life of a crucified life that we dealt with last week. That's one of the hardest things that we do in our spiritual life, is to put ourselves on notice that we will not, and for righteousness sake, we cannot do everything that the flesh desires to do. But the easiest message, I believe, of all these different ones that we've had tonight, these nights is this one here, because we anticipate the coming of the Lord. We look forward to what we call the coming of Jesus Christ. The book of Revelation is full of symbols, and we read a symbol tonight in verse number 1, and I believe we need to take it as literally as possible, but when we find a symbol, then there is a reason for that, and there's always a meaning behind that. And the Lord says here that after the church age, given in chapters 2 and 3, he says, "I looked, behold, a door was open in heaven." I believe that's a literal opening of heaven. And he said, "I heard a first voice that I heard was, as it were, of a trumpet." It does not say here that the voice is a trumpet, but it was as it were a trumpet, and that is symbolic for the announcement and symbolic for the maybe the volume of it and the extent of it. Of course, we believe the trumpet's going to sound. Paul tells us that in other places, but here we find the symbolic announcement that the door is open and we're to come up hither, and the voice is so strong and so loud, it's typified as with a trumpet. Now I believe, and I'm sure we understand the word, there's some big words sometimes that folks do not understand. We know what the tribulation is. That's when God deals primarily with Israel, and it takes place after this in verse number 1 of chapter 4. God deals with Israel primarily and deals with the rest of the world in a general sense because of their rejection of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so that's the tribulation. We are considered, and I call myself and others that understand the terminology, we call ourselves pre-tribulational individual. We believe that the Lord is coming before the tribulation. Now, there's been a lot of different ideas on that. There's some people that don't even believe in a tribulation and a millennial. There's some that believe that everything's going to happen after it gets better. Now, I don't think there's too many of them left around, because things certainly are not getting any better. And that's that post-trib idea that we'll finally get so good the Lord will come and have fellowship with us because we're so good. But we are pre-tribulational. We believe the Lord's coming before the tribulation. And John says here, "After this I looked." And so "after this" refers back to the churches, those seven churches there that are listed in Revelation 2 and 3. After those messages have been delivered, after they have been given to those respective churches and pastors, the Lord tells John, says, "Now, that's over. Now you come up and I'll show you what's going to take place after this. I'll show you what's going to take place yet in the future." And so we believe the Lord is coming, and he's coming before the great tribulation. Now that's not to say we're not going to be involved in some tribulations ourselves. It's not to say that that the church will not undergo some persecution and tribulation. But what the Bible describes to us and declares to us as the tribulation or the judgment of God, we believe the Lord will come after us, and we'll be gathered to him, and we'll be there forever and forever. And certain things take place in heaven while the judgment is going on upon the earth. And that's chapters 5 all the way through chapter number 19, chapter 20 of the Revelation. There are earthly scenes that are taking place, and then there are heavenly scenes that are taking place simultaneously. And so the Lord's in control of it, and he's taking care of it. And one day we'll go up and we'll be with him, and we will experience some of these things that are mentioned here in these chapters and verses. This verse tonight ought to clear up any problems about when the Lord's coming. He's coming before those judgments that will fall, and those seven seals, the seven vials of wrath, and those different things that we've studied just not too long ago when we went through the book of Revelation. John was transported up in verse number 2, and the church is not mentioned anymore until you get to the last chapters of the book of Revelation. The church is mentioned in Revelation chapter 19 as a bride that hath made herself ready. The churches are mentioned, I believe it's in chapter 22, where John writes, says he has written these things unto the churches. And so this book that we have, this book of Revelation, it was given for the churches to have some kind of understanding about what was going to take place yet in the future. This invitation here is an invitation of having everything completed. You can study the Bible. If you'll study Genesis, everything that starts in Genesis ends in Revelation. Everything that begins, doesn't matter what it is, you can find the culmination or the completion of it in the Revelation. And so we have here the completion of the life of a child of God, or the believer, the Christian. Some differentiate between some words, but this is the completion of the people of God upon this earth, and they're gone home. Come up hither. Praise the Lord. What an invitation that is that we have. And one day we'll hear it. One day we'll receive that invitation. And it will be as a voice as of a trumpet. It'll be loud enough that our ears will hear it and nobody else's will hear it. We're tuned in on a different circuit board than everybody else in the world, because that message is for the redeemed only. The world, the lost, are not going to hear those words, come up hither. The lost are not going to leave. They're going to still be here. And the Bible tells us that they will be under judgment. And those that maybe have heard, rejected, the Bible says they'll be sent strong delusion and they'll believe a lie. They had their opportunity, they had their time, and they rejected the Lord Jesus Christ, and they will ultimately be in that delusion, that will reject totally the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, we don't know when he's coming, but we know he's coming. The Bible tells us in Matthew chapter 24, verse 36, "But of that day and hour no man, no, not the angels of heaven." You'd think if anybody in heaven might know when the Lord was coming, the angels probably would know. But Jesus said the angels do not even know when he's coming back. And so he says, "But my Father only." And so we find that the coming of the Lord is a mysterious thing. People talk about it. There's been books written about it. There's been movies made about it. There's all kind of suggestions about the coming of the Lord. But I'll tell you what, the best information that you'll ever get is found right here in this book. And it tells us the truth of his coming. And so John heard the words, a voice as of a trumpet, and it said, "Come up." And John says, "Immediately I was in the Spirit." Immediately he was taken from the Isle of Patmos, and he was taken to the very presence of the Lord. And the Lord did show him all those things that would be hereafter. Somebody says, "Do you think John understood everything he wrote down?" I doubt very seriously he did. I certainly don't understand everything he wrote down. And I've never met anybody that's had any study at all in the that says they know it all. There's a lot of things we can know, but John was that one that was given the message of the hereafter. And he made some statements and said some things that I'm sure he wondered about it himself. But we can, and there's some things that that we can see that now that we wondered about a few years ago. And as time progresses and as the day goes forward, I believe the more and more we'll understand how close we are to the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so he says, "Come up hither, I will show you." And immediately I was in the Spirit, and the first thing he sees is what? A throne. He sees the throne, and the Bible says, "A throne and was set in heaven, and one that sat upon the throne. And he that was to look upon like a jasper and sardis stone, and there was a rainbow round about the throne in sight like unto an emerald." It wasn't a rainbow like ours. It was a circle rainbow. And it was a complete rainbow showing the completeness of everything. And so the Lord's coming. We just do not know when. We don't know all the ins and outs of the details, but we can lift up our eyes when we see these things begin to come to pass. We know that our redemption draweth nigh. There's many things in the Scripture that lets us know we're nearing the completion. Many things we can understand in the Bible, that we are coming to a close of this world. It's not going to go on forever and ever. Things are not going to remain as they are, as the skeptics say. But there is a stopping point somewhere. And the stopping point for the child of God and of this generation and of this dispensation of what we call the dispensation of grace. Many people call it the dispensation of the church. I believe probably that is maybe a little bit better description of it, because there's no church in the Old Testament. There's no church after it's taken out of here. And so this period of time we're living in is the time that God deals with mankind through the local autonomous church of the Lord Jesus Christ. And it is, of course, an age of grace, as all the dispensations have been. So we know he's coming, but the Bible tells us that we know he's coming as a thief in the night. He's not always going to be revealed. He's coming as a thief. I got down a few things here about a thief. A thief comes at the darkest part of the night. A thief comes quietly, unobserved by the sleepers. A thief comes to snatch something. A thief is after jewels, gold, and pearls. A thief is not interested in things of no value. A thief has to come and gone before others are aware. A thief leaves the house greatly impoverished and himself greatly enriched. And when the Lord comes as a thief in the night, you can guarantee he's going to be unobserved by the sleepers. He's going to be unobserved by those that do not know him, do not have any understanding about salvation. He'll come and he will be gone before they even realize what has happened. He is coming to snatch something away. Thank God that's you and I. He's coming to take us, to rapture us, to take us away. He's coming to get after his jewels and after the gold and the silver. The most precious things of life are the children of God. A thief is not interested in things of no value. He's not interested in those things. He's interested in things of value, and he takes it away. And so the Lord says he's coming as a thief in the night. I know probably everybody when we think about the Lord coming, we talk about the midnight hour, but it's going to be noon somewhere. It may be in the darkness of the night here, but it may be in the daylight halfway around the world. But he's coming, and they'll never recognize, never know that the thief has come and taken his prize, which is the believer, and taking them away. This says much about our Lord's coming. The world tonight is in one of the darkest periods of history in a long time. And disasters are everywhere, and wars are increasing. Disease is uncontrolled. And oh, by the way, that's all told of us in Matthew 24. Those pestilence that we read about in the New Testament, in the Gospel, those are not little creepy things that are pestilence that we think about. Though that word pestilence talks about diseases that are uncontrolled. And they're everywhere and growing rapidly. And so the Lord is coming. And what a message we have. What a completion of life and completion of things that will be, because the battle will be over. Praise the Lord. No more getting up the next day and fighting the battle. The battle will be ended. All of our infirmities will be gone. No more thyroid problems. No more cancer. No more diabetes, no more high blood pressure, no more heart trouble. All those diseases, every disease you can think of, every disease that you are acquainted with and not acquainted with, those things will be over for the child of God. Praise the Lord. The battle's over. We try to take care of ourselves, but yet the battle comes. Physically, problems arise, and was talking earlier about drug cards and paying for certain drugs and doing certain things to keep our bodies alive as much as possible. That'll all be over, because that's part of the battle. We won't have to worry about Medicare B, C, and D. We won't have to worry about all those things. That supplement, you won't have to worry. It'll all be over. And so we find that the infirmities will be over, and the family problems will be gone. The heartaches and the headaches and those that have gone astray will that no longer will be there to bother. The financial problems will be gone. The fears will be gone. The trials will be gone. The problems will be over. Thank God the battle's over. And when we shall see the King, the battle is over and done for. That's the completion of life. And so the battle is over. Not only is the battle over, but the bride is complete. A lot of questions about the bride. Who is the bride and what does it all involve? But I'll tell you one thing. Whoever the bride is, you got to be saved to get there. You got to be born again. And the child of God, the believer, we are to rejoice and give honor to the Lord because of what He has done for us. And we know that the church is called the bride of Christ. So we don't have any problem knowing what who the bride is. It's the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so we find here that a person that is in the bride that will be completed is one that must be born again. Praise the Lord for salvation. No one's going to break through and steal. No one's going to enter in that doesn't belong there. A person has to realize that they're lost. A person has to realize that Jesus died for them. A person has to realize the Lord's done all those things for them, and they just must believe upon Him that Christ died for their sins. Thank God He did. And so we find that the bride will be complete. He says in 2 Corinthians 5:21, for he hath made Him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. Romans 5:8, but God commendeth His love toward us while we were sinners. The Lord didn't wait for us to clean ourselves up. He came to us while we were sinners. And if we tried to clean ourselves up, guess what? We'd clean ourselves up with a dirty rag. Nothing righteous about us. And so while we were yet sinners, the Scripture says He died for us. Thank the Lord for salvation. 1 Peter chapter number 3 says, for Christ hath also once suffered for sins, the just for the unjust, that He might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but quickened in the spirit. Receiving the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior, thank God, that's what brings us to salvation. A lot of things work in our heart. A lot of things work in our lives. The Lord sends a lot of messengers and a lot of messages to us. The Lord sends us a lot of impressions as we realize that I need something. I need someone. And the Lord opens the door as we walk through the path of life, and He reveals to us Himself. And the Holy Spirit directs us unto Him, and He draws us unto Himself, and then we receive the Lord. And as many as receive Him, to them gives He power. He gives power that we might become and be a child of the Lord, John 1:12. Romans 10:9-10, very familiar verses. He tells us in those those verses that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thy heart that God raised Him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Salvation is very easy. Salvation is very simple. We have a track back there. It says the simple plan of salvation. Most simple thing you could ever read is God's plan for life. Just understand, believe, trust, and He will save you. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Isn't that simple? Isn't that easy? But yet the world passes by and just think it nothing. But those verses and those words are the very words that will put us in Revelation chapter 4, verse 1, come up hither. Those few verses, those few words, and those things that God gives us to show us salvation, that will put us to the place that we are going to be transported just like John was. Immediately, he was taken from where he was, and he was in the Spirit, and he was seeing all the things that would take place upon this world. So the battle will be over. Thank God for that. The bride will be complete. Third thing I wrote down here, the building will be finished and everyone to occupy. Jesus said, in my Father's house, many mansions, I go prepare you a place. that where I am there you may be also. Scripture doesn't say the Lord goes and prepares the mansions. They're already there. In my Father's house are many mansions. I know we get so, sometimes we get so confused with what everybody says. The mansions are not being built. They're there. Jesus said, I go prepare you a place. Well, if it's any better than the Lord's mansion, I don't understand how it could be any better. But he's going to prepare us a place, and I'm sure it'll be a mansion. And it'll be there in the place of the Lord. And he says, I go prepare a place for you. I will come again. Praise the Lord. He said, if I'm going to go over and prepare you a place, I'm going to come back, and I'm going to get you and take you back. It's a perfect picture of the Jewish wedding. The Jewish man would be betrothed to a woman, just like Joseph and Mary. Mary was promised unto Joseph, and before they came together, she was found with child. She was that betrothed unto Joseph. And what they would do when that, in a Jewish family, when they got to that particular point in their life, the bride would be there, and the groom would be there, and they would not be really married, and it's really not like our engagement either. It's much more involved than that. But he would go off and he'd prepare a place for his bride. It might take him a while, and it'd take a little bit of time and a lot of effort and a lot of money, and he'd go prepare a place for that bride. But she knew he was going to come back for her and take her to that place. And that's exactly what Jesus said he was going to do. I go prepare a place for you, that where I am, there ye may be also. Praise the Lord. Revelation 4:1, we go there. Come up hither. And we're there, and the building will be finished, and we'll be, as the bride of Christ, we will occupy that place that he has prepared. Wonderful, wonderful story. So the building will be finished. The battle will be over. And then lastly tonight, the beauty of eternity is before us. Can you imagine how wonderful it will be? No more sin. Revelation chapter 22, verse number 1. And he showed me a pure river of life. Now this is John speaking. Remember, he's there. And he said, I'll show you the things that's hereafter. And John's writing down, he said, he showed me a pure river of life, clear as crystal, proceeding out of the throne of God. That first thing he saw when he got there was the throne. And you get to the last couple of chapters of Revelation, that last chapter, he said, out of that throne that I beheld, that rainbow circling around it, and all the 24 elders and all the group that's there praising the Lord, he said, proceeding out of that throne of God and of the Lamb is a river clear as crystal. It's called the water of life. It goes on and says, in the midst of the street of it, and on either side of the river, there was the tree of life. Where'd you hear about that? Genesis, tree of life. That tree is there, which bare 12 manner of fruit and yielded her fruit every month. If you can find any commentator that says very much about that verse, just write it down. Let me know, because nobody knows what it's talking about. John just wrote it. He said, there's a river proceeding out of the throne of God. It's clear as crystal, and there's a tree of life. And on that tree are 12 different types of fruit. One every year. One, 12 manner of fruit, every month, rather, not every year, every month. Boy, wouldn't that be a great tree? I'd like to have an apple, peach, orange tree all together. I couldn't name 12 of them real quick. But every month, something different. Well, I thank God for that. The Bible says here that the leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. Nobody knows what that's about either. And there shall be no more curse. We understand that. Praise the Lord. But the throne of God and the Lamb shall be in it, and the servants shall serve him. And they shall see his face, and his name shall be in their forehead. See, the old Antichrist, all he can do is manipulate and imitate what's real. When we get to heaven, thank God, our forehead will have a name in it. It'll be his name. And they shall see his face. His name shall be on their forehead. And there shall be no night there, no need of a candle, neither light of the sun. God said in the beginning, let there be light. You get to the completion of it, there's no more need of light, for he is the light of the world. For the Lord God giveth them light, and they shall reign forever and ever. I sort of like the words, come up hither. It ends it all, takes care of it. We will have eternal joy in heaven. I believe we will have eternal rejoicing and singing. There will be eternal light, no more darkness. And better than anything else, there is no more devil. No more Satan, for it's over. Come up hither. Tonight we might hear that. What an amazing thought. We might hear that. It could happen. I believe in the imminent return of the Lord. And this could be the day, this could be the night that the thief appears and snatches away his jewels. Snatches away the important elements of this world called the child of God. This could be the night of the invitation to complete it all. We don't know. That's what makes it so interesting. It could be tonight. We might hear the voice that sounds like a trumpet tonight. You know what? Immediately we'll be in the presence of the Lord. Won't have time telling anybody goodbye. Won't have time to pack your clothes and change attitude. All that'll be over. Thank God we'll be in the presence of the Lord, not just for a season, but forever and forever and forever. So when Jesus told his disciples, when he told them there on the seashore, come unto me, I'll make you fishers of men. When he told them, come and see where I abide. When he told them to come unto me and I'll bear your burdens, I'll comfort you. When he said to bear your burden and live that life, he was getting everything ready for this last come up hither. That one day we'll go to be with the Lord in the presence of the very throne of God and the angels of heaven. But more than that, we're in the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ and his people, the family of God gathered no longer on earth, but now all in heaven. You see, there is a family tonight. Part of it's in heaven, part of it's on earth. But when that invitation to come up hither, the family of God will be united one more time for the last time, never to be departed again. Our loved ones that are saved that have gone on, our friends that are born again that have gone on before us, well, we'll be with them forever and ever. What a wonderful thought that is. And when you read those words now in Revelation chapter 4, as we will probably different times, come up hither, just remember that's the completion of it for you and I. It's all finished. Let's stand together tonight.